Hi, I'm Michaela, a psychotherapist.
Hi, I'm Savannah, not a psychotherapist.
And this is our podcast, Hippie and a Realist.
Real life conversations about life and happiness.
I think, what did you buy on Amazon? Are you recording?
Dude, yeah, I am recording, and it's pathetic. I have a problem. It's a razor. Like, literally, this is how fucking lazy I am. I don't want to go to the grocery store.
So you just Amazoned your
own. And I knew it would be here in a day, and I could just...
There is nothing wrong with that, except that you're just... Environmentally, you're
creating... the package,
the
right?
The packaging. That's like... Other besides that, but then, okay. But
it's
then
a what Gillette Venus
you
extra
save
smooth.
In gas?
Dude, tons. Especially up here. That's the thing. My husband's like, why do you get so many Amazon packages? I'm like, because I don't go to the grocery store. Oh, yeah. Walter's going crazy. So this podcast, we're eating snacks. We're going to have to listen to us talk. And we're just doing a happy cast.
Okay. Matt just brought us wine. He's amazing.
Can I tell you, this is the best. Have you had these yet?
No, okay. Is this?
Remember when canned, like boxed any wine was just nasty? They have revolutionized this industry. This is straight up Francis Ford Coppola.
Ready?
In a can, yeah.
It's summertime. Well, not summertime, okay? It's not even spring, but the weather's been so nice.
I don't even care. It's spring in my heart.
Oh, man. Gardening season?
Mm-hmm.
I got big plans for the garden.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited.
Ripped out my garden. Fencing.
No, really?
Yeah, it was like, talk about morning.
Can I put some ranch in that container, or are you too un-keto to have it near your vegetables?
You can ranch on. My mom was like a Weight Watchers, like, growing up. And so she always, like, I have her little Weight Watchers in the back of my head. And it's like, can you eat it without it? Yeah, I can eat vegetables without ranch. So why would you add the extra calories? It's like, I used to think you got to have fish sticks with ketchup. No, you don't.
I feel like it makes me happy. And so if dousing my radish in ranch makes me happy... That's like a small thing.
No.
I don't have many vices in life, though.
Yeah, see, but if I did that with food and I added that to my... It would just... That little bit adds up. So you talk about the little path that you push somebody and they go in the opposite direction.
Yes.
Over time, it pays off.
That was episode... Last episode. Episode 7. What episode are we on? 7?
I don't know. What were we talking about?
We were talking about... The fact that this is going to be a happy podcast.
Oh, it's our happy podcast. We're chilling. We're eating vegetables and drinking wine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I might eat some of this.
And I'm having
sausage.
Ranch.
She's having a sausage. This is good wine. Oh, my garden fence.
Mm.
So if you guys know, or anybody's ever been to my house, and you have been to my house, let me just tell you about it. I have a sign that says, our garden may not grow, but our love will. And my husband and I definitely started out and we didn't live together, but we put in a garden together. That was like our first.
I remember that.
And I'm pretty sure we like broke up a couple times over it. I made the sign. The sign's been thrown.
You know that Matt and I went through that on our first garden?
Yeah.
Literally, I delivered like Roma tomatoes in a bag to him because I wasn't like staying in the house that night.
Yeah.
He stayed out at his parents' house or something on one of the fights, and I brought him Roma tomatoes and like, look at what is growing from our garden.
Yeah.
It was funny. Gardens are so analogous to life though.
They are.
I mean, everything about them, if you've never grown anything, go get a seed.
I heard a screaming.
It was Randy whistling for Earl.
Oh, okay.
Because he came down to visit Walter, which is why Walter was barking so crazy.
Oh, this ranch is good.
Oh, yeah.
I'm now eating the ranch.
I straight home make. Like, I'm not a bottle rancher.
Like a buttermilk?
No. Hidden Valley Classic all the way.
With milk or with water?
And you will always see the shaker bottle in my fridge.
Holy shit, I just doubled it.
Dude, so good. Right? But gardens are super, like, everything about, like, I feel like you're missing out if you've never tried to grow something. I don't even care if it's a flower. Like, you know, like, grow something.
It is. Yeah. We took the garden fence out.
Okay.
It was a riggedy raggedy. So when Ben bought the house,
It was that chicken fencing, right? Like no, that thick wire, no, like 4x4 square.
There's the chicken. It was, no, it's actually no climb, six, but it's only 6 feet. We needed up higher. But what we did, because it was only 6 foot, we added this like extra row.
Yes.
It was so ghetto. So ghetto. Why ugly. Trash? When you pull up in, you pull up in my house, that's the first thing you see is this like.
We should probably slander all of the different cultures just so everyone knows that we're not. It was straight redneck.
It was very, very redneck, very Georgetown. But that was our garden, and we had it, and every year we'd say, oh, well, we'll redo the fence next year. Let's just, it worked. It kept the deer out. Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. You know, it was almost like, why would we spend the money? Yes, it's not pleasing to the eye, but we could grow some vegetables in it. So past 2 years, we haven't had a garden. We've been just super busy. We're going to let the soil kind of catch back. And so this year we've decided this is the year. We're going to redo the fence. We're also going to extend the garden out by some yardage. So we had to take the old stuff down, and of course we had an argument mid of that.
Yeah, ripping out T-posts, that's really fun.
Yeah.
I still have one that a root grew around, because we extended our garden this year, and a root grew around a T-post. I cannot get the fucking thing out, and I'm so angry. Like, it shakes, it wobbles, and it will not budge. I've asked Matt to try it, he's like, it's stuck.
Oh, it's definitely hard. I've got one that's still left.
So just taking out the fence is a big operation.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then it's like, do you keep the stuff? It's like, no, just start over. Well, you can always reuse a T-post.
Right.
And you always find so
and keep they're it. Expensive, like $5 a piece or something.
Yeah. That was an argument. Let's start fresh and let's start new. Anyway, garden eventually was out.
Because guys are always like, it works. Why get a new one? And girls are like, well, we want it to be fresh and nice and new.
But he is really smart because I could totally use those T-posts right now because I'm putting grass. I'm reseeding the grass and I want to block off an area. So if I put those T-posts in the ground right now, I can make a little fence that dogs or nobody else is going to walk on. Mm. So already, I have a spot for him. There you go, babe. There's your credit.
Does he listen?
I don't think so.
Matt doesn't listen.
I don't think he listens. Whatever. But so we're all done. We go inside. Night's gone over. We look back and I was like, I'm kind of sad. He's like, I know. Like, you look out in our yard and it looks 100 times better already. Mm-hmm. There's no missing. But we just were like, you know, Austin was, when Ben and I started dating, Austin was 2. She was in diapers.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have her out there barefoot in a diaper helping us put a garden in. And now she's, you know, could.
7.
She's 7. Mm. You know, it. Della doesn't know garden like that. But we look back and we're looking at the one like, yeah, this is kind of sad. I'm a little.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be happy when there's something else
out. You had a loss.
I had a total loss, and it was hard. God, this ranch. Do you buy it at Costco, just like the big ones, or you just buy them individually?
No, I just buy there's like a whole powdered container that you can get. The whole powdered container of Hidden Valley. So not the individual packets. So I can mix and match my own, like make how much I want.
Katie, my sister-in-law, does that.
Oh,
this
yeah.
Great.
It's the only way to go. I feel like store-bought ranch is just not even the same. Matter of fact, I'm so bad that if I go to a restaurant, order a salad, and they say they have ranch, I say, is it homemade? Like, that's straight up a question. Because I don't want your bottled crap from Sysco.
You're a ranch snob.
I'm a ranch snob.
That's okay. My sister's a blue cheese snob. I always talk to her about being a blue cheese
snob. A blue cheese snob?
Yeah, she's really picky about her blue cheese.
You know what, though? That, especially with the aging process and stuff, I feel like blue cheese is one of those things.
It's okay to be a blue cheese snob.
So I made 92 carrot cake muffins last night, and I didn't get to tell you why.
And why the hell did you make 92 carrot cakes?
Okay, so here is why. Carrot cake muffins. But there's two amazing things.
You made 92 baked items.
And let me tell you, because we went camping over the weekend, and we were supposed to bring carrots to the corned beef cabbage potluck that we were having last weekend. And so if you're listening to this podcast, this might be late, but whatever, carrots to the potluck for like 17 people. So I brought 3 pounds of steamed carrots, right? Well, I brought the carrots, I steamed them in the cab over, and the problem is I decided to go down to the beach and enjoy the sunset and snap a couple BU pics and whatever before dinner. Got to the potluck, totally forgot my carrots.
So you brought like mashed carrots?
No, I brought no carrots. Like I showed up with no carrots, like nothing. And there was carrots there because Barb had brought carrots too. And so, bottom line,
set up to a potluck empty-handed.
It's kind of different when you're camping at the beach and it's like a potluck set, a picnic table in the middle. You know what I mean? Like, we were going back and forth. Technically, I didn't show up empty-handed because I brought the boat.
Too many times I've showed up empty-handed at your house. Really? I'm just really calling myself.
Well, the carrots weren't done because I went and screwed around at the beach and then went to bring them and forgot them. And it didn't work. The carrots were in a huge pot. And they're like, forget it, we've all eaten now. I showed up to the potluck late, too. Not just, like, empty-handed, but also late.
Cool.
So
there's a win for Kayla.
I was, like, all sorts of just wrong. So, anyway, but my husband was still out on the ocean trying to catch crab for the next night, which was going to be the crab boil. So it's not like, you know, I mean, we were out. Everyone was doing stuff. So bottom line, I come back. I'm like, what am I going to do with 3 pounds of steamed carrots? I brought them home in a Ziploc bag, and I Googled whether or not you could make a carrot cake. At first, I looked up soup, like carrot soup.
Oh, yeah, carrot ginger soup.
But I'm a soup meister. Like, soups are my thing. Like, for real. You've had soups at my house. Lobster bisque, wild mushroom. I'm all about soup. But I just didn't really feel like soup. Like, it was feeling springy, and I just didn't want soup. I wanted salad, you know, kind of thing. But carrot ginger is pretty good anyway. So bottom line, I looked up whether I could make carrot cake muffins with steamed carrots. And there's this lady, and she's got this recipe, and it called for steamed carrots. So I'm like, crap, this is going to make a boat ton, because she said 1 cup of carrots. And I'm like, I literally have like 8 cups of carrots. So I went to the store, and I'm like, I got to get at least one more muffin tin, because I'm simplest. I don't have extra of anything. Like, matter of fact, that was one of our podcast topic ideas, like declutter. Like, how many spoons do you really need? Do you need 2 sets of full-on silverware? So I have 1 muffin tin with 12 muffin slots. And I'm like, this is going to take all night if I got to cook these 12 at a time. So I went to the store, and there's a 24-tray muffin. I didn't even know that existed until today. I'm like, why would anybody ever make 12? At least when you got young kids and you're taking them to school and soccer, whatever. I was like, this is freaking brilliant.
Yeah, 24 is about what you need.
Yeah.
I wish they had 30.
So
24 is great.
Yes, it's amazing. So I was able to cook 36 at a time because I had 12 and 24. Mm. So that is why I had 90 some odd carrot cake muffins. So I gave them away all over the place. But they were freaking delicious.
They were just the carrot. I've got some in my car. I'll eat them when I ate, like, really terrible today. Minus those veggies that we just ate.
So, but on the travel topic, we love our cab over.
Oh, let's talk about food a little bit before we get to travel.
Okay.
Because we're talking about food.
So okay, I'm going to keep eating then.
You're going to talk about, you want to talk about keto, and I want to talk about not keto. So, I'm eating all, what are these? So these are some smoked shorty sausages. They're like a beef jerky.
Dukes.
No hormones, no nitrates. It tastes like a dog treat. I'm pretty sure I used to feed those to Jackson.
Can I just tell you, they really taste like a dog treat?
Like, I think, like,
those are exceptionally bad.
Yeah, I think those remind me of, like, maybe somewhere, and I bet this happens, they couldn't get away with selling them as a dog treat. I just pack them for human consumption. What do those taste like? Those bell peppers and radishes, those are great.
Well, normally, these taste really good. This bag tastes like dog treats. Like, they mixed it up at the place. I'm not even kidding you. Literally, Jody was in here the other day, and I had a bag of these, and we were eating them. We're like, oh, my God, these are so good. And I'm like, I'm going to order another bag on Amazon because I don't go to the store.
Oh, gosh. So, I don't knock you. If you find a smarter way to do something or a simpler way to do something, do it. And so, if it works for you, you do it.
So I ordered my Dukes on Amazon. Dukes. And then these came and I go, Jody, these taste like dog treats. Like, for real. I don't know. I don't know if it's because I got them on Amazon or what. But normally they're very good.
They're not moist.
And these ones taste like dog food. But they normally don't. And I'm like, I got original flavor last time, so I don't understand what I've done wrong. But I do the keto crate, which I absolutely, absolutely love the keto crate.
Oh, I'm like, putting those away more often.
Yeah, I thought you wanted some more. I'm going to eat them. But I absolutely love the keto crate because it comes with all sorts of yummy, like, snacks. I don't have to think about it.
Okay, you want to talk keto?
Yeah. I was doing keto before it was really popular.
Which to me sounds like Atkins a little bit.
Right. And I actually started with paleo and was very serious about it. But paleo is pretty hard because, I mean, if you want to do it right, you're going for bison, not ground beef, stuff like that. And it can be a little more challenging. But here's why, okay? My whole life, so I was scheduled to have a surgery to tighten my esophageal sphincter so that I would not have heartburn anymore because my grandfather, who we talked about in a prior episode, died of esophageal cancer, got Barrett's-like type esophagus. Basically, the stomach lining, your esophagus starts to look like your stomach lining. That's what happens to the cells from so much heartburn, like acid coming up from the stomach.
So you're at the base of your stomach where it meets your esophagus, it's like a sphincter.
Yes, it's like
So kind of like your booty. It's like a circular, and so it doesn't close a lot. Let stomach acid jumps up into your esophagus, and it's acid over years, and it erodes it away.
Correct. So, I'd been on proton pump inhibitors and things like that in the past, and we should definitely do an episode on Big Pharma, although I know that being in your field is more sensitive. I worked for Big Pharma, so I have some strong opinions about it, but...
We could have a guest on this show. I could bring my pharmacist buddy.
Let's do it. Show. Let's do that. It would be awesome. You could even just do that one with him and record it. That would be good. I'll stay out of it because I have a strong opinion. So, anyway, I was scheduled to have the surgery, okay, laparoscopic surgery to tighten the sphincter. I'm sitting at a game, a t-ball game, and telling this girl, like, yeah, I've had heartburn my whole life. I could literally have nothing but bread and water and have heartburn, and I'm tired of taking medication for it, blah, blah, blah. And she says, well, why don't you cut out the bread? And I'm like, what? Like, I'm Ms. Pasta, bread, everything, give me all the crust type person. This idea to me was horrific. Like, you just fell from a planet you need to go back to because that's not going to happen. She goes, no, seriously, I used to have like the worst heartburn ever. And I started doing a ketogenic diet, is what she called it, a ketogenic diet. And she said, and since then, I've had no heartburn. And I'm like, bullshit. I don't believe you. That's not possible. Like, because literally I've tried it. I've done bread and water and still get heartburn. So I'm like, well, what have I got to lose? Like, I'm going to have this major surgery in 3-4 months. I might as well try this thing. What have I got to lose? I committed to 30 days. And when I started, I did paleo, but committed to 30 days. And it's funny because we were on a road trip. And I was like, great time to like, we were leaving on a road trip like right away. I was like, great time to try a new like diet. You know what I mean? Like to cut out everything I know. Like how am I going to eat a fucking sandwich like on the road? I can't even get a sandwich, you know? And, but I got crafty and I was like, I can roll up meat with cheese or I could have this and that. You know, like I kind of figured it out. And I was surprised actually at how many things that there were readily available at the Whole Foods market and stuff for paleo diet and ketogenic diet. And so we went on this road trip and I ate spick and span. I mean, straight up, I did not have breads and wheats and those kinds of products. And I was very, very, very limited on my carbs. And not only did I drop a ton of weight, which was awesome because having thyroid stuff, that's always a struggle. But I had no heartburn, none. I did not take a Pepcid, a Zantac, not even a Tums for the whole time. Well, we got back and it was Easter. And I host Easter every year. So I was doing all the traditional, we were having like croissants and just the whole thing. And I was like, oh, it's Easter, you know, holiday day. I'll just have a cheat day. And I paid for it for 3 days with like upset tummy, heartburn, everything. And I was like, you know what? I don't care what the rest of the world thinks about this. Like, I don't have heartburn anymore. And that to me is worth every bit of it, like every bit of being that person who's like, oh, I'm sorry, can you keep the bread off? You know, like every bit of it is worth it for me. So since then, keto's gotten really popular. Now there's like the keto crate and it probably existed before, but there's so many keto options. But for me, I tell people when I hear other people struggling with it, I recommend it to them. But I'm like, look, if it's not for you, you'll know. For me, It's just hands
it works
down.
For you.
There's no, I my whole life, I said bread and water and I'd get heartburn. Yeah, it was the bread causing the heartburn. I cut out the bread and have no heartburn. I mean, this is like, I don't know what physiologically is happening. Like, I don't know if there's some special kind of acidic reaction to gluten or what is happening. I don't even know, right? But what I know is that I don't have to take Tums. So for me, it's hands down. And when I cheat and have pizza, which by the way, Pieology now has a cauliflower crust. Whoo. But when I cheat and have carb, like specifically gluten, carbohydrates, and those kinds of things,
do you think it's gluten or do you think it's processed of carbohydrates?
I think it's all of the above. Refined sugars, all that. All of it. I use honey, you know what I mean? And even that I'm limited, but I do like honey in my tea and stuff. And
so would you say it's fair to say the more man touches your food, the worse your body handles it?
I think we have hands down fucked up our bodies because of the way that we have made it easier on ourselves to eat shit food. Yes.
I agree with you.
I completely feel, and I get that meat's not for everybody, like the keto part of that, whatever. But I think that I've watched a lot of different documentaries like Forks Over Knives and just different ones like that that kind of talk about the migration of the food process and the Industrial Revolution, how agriculture has changed, you know, being able to mass produce has really changed. And that there's no accidents that in these countries where they don't have that, they have far less cases of the medical ailments that we have. I mean, there's got to be something to that.
Well, and we've done it in such a short period of time that I don't think that we're really understanding the real effects of what we're actually doing to ourselves. Because it's, we're still only a couple of generations deep into that. So we're not really, you know, the way you and I eat and what we grew up on is a little bit different than what our parents grew up on, what our grandparents grew on, down to what we even feed our kids. So
my father-in-law said something interesting, though, because I said, look, like, this is not how we ate that long ago. And we have not, we just haven't had enough time to evolve. And he said, he actually kind of threw out a devil's advocate and said, humans are the greatest species at evolving, and we have evolved to eat these modern diets. But I don't know that I wholeheartedly agree with that. I think that we have, maybe we're making some progress to adaptation, but I don't think it's all there yet. And the other thing is, this is interesting. So I had this lady tell me something today that really blew my mind about vitamin E. She said that for like occipital neuralgia and different types of inflammation from allergies and different things that happen in the skull region of the brain, you can double your dose of vitamin E, and it's like a natural inflammatory. And she had this weird funky thing happening, and by doing that, she reduced this symptom she was having, right? And I actually said to her, oh my gosh, when I used to have a wound, my grandma would bust open a vitamin E capsule and rub it on. Like, that's what she did. And so I Googled it and I was like, you know, vitamin E, you know, whatever, benefits, blah, blah, blah. And what's so interesting to me, and this is true for most vitamins that you look up on the internet, they're like, yeah, it can do this, it could do that, it could do this, it could do that. But that is not proven by the FDA. There have been no studies to back that up. The big pharma does not benefit from us using naturally occurring things to heal our bodies. They benefit from treating disease. They don't benefit from healing prior to the process happening or from using natural things. And I know that this is probably controversial for you, but
so we talked about Ayurveda in some of our past podcasts and talk about being medicine today, Western medicine, being like fact-based, measurable, because that's easy for people to, you can, when you put value to things, it's easy to measure them. When you put a measurement to something against back, easy again to put value on it.
Mm-hmm.
The healthcare industry is a profit comfortable. I don't really want to go too deep into this because I also work. What I do for a living and what I practice sometimes are a little bit different. I work in the healthcare field, but I also see the financial side of the healthcare mm-hmm. side of the field. Mm-hmm. I've worked in private practice. I've worked in legit nonprofit where mm-hmm. nobody is profiting. All you're doing is healing people because there's no co-payments and things like that. So my view is a little bit different for medical necessity. Also, I've been in the side where you're not going to get sued. There's no such thing as malpractice, down to where doctors are purposely doing things, not because it's the best for the patient, but because CYA.
Right.
So my opinion of the health of how healthcare is, throw politics in there, that I don't want to divulge too much because it's my
well let me just say this then. I feel like healing ourselves.
I don't know
where I want to go with this. Right. We'll save that for another thing. But I do feel like our whole body wellness is greatly impacted by what we're putting in our body. And whether that be alcohol. I mean, we're drinking wine right now, but
whatever you put in has gotta come out. Mm-hmm. You are, you know, I've physically felt, I should believe that until I experienced it. Mm-hmm. And then I understood where we're talking last night. I'm going to talk about my marathon. I hate to talk about it. Where I was at this point of shut down mm-hmm. physically. Mm-hmm. And I had food, I could physically feel my body taking in that natural
energy. Have you ever had it when you've been so thirsty and you drink water and you can feel it going all the way down? I mean,
I could barely take another step. And then I had a salty potato and I had some warm chicken broth. But I can also say that, so let's just talk about my marathon. When I saw you, it emotionally
charged
my body and I felt that energy, same thing. So I don't really know maybe it's not the food or the nutrition. I don't know what it is, but I've seen my body at this, like, just, like, ragged state. Mm-hmm. And then you can add something to it, and it changes your state.
Yeah.
You can feel it. And it call it chemistry, because that's probably the best way to explain it. Mm-hmm. But even to nutritional chemistry to an emotional chemistry, you can see what you put into your body affects the output of your body. But you have to be in tune with that, though,
I think part of the keto, ignore it.
But the keto thing, I know where a lot of it puts your body into the state of ketosis, where the only way you can get there is by it's chemistry, eliminating those carbohydrates.
Right.
So your body gets to this state where it starts burning fat from other spots.
Yeah.
That you see it in diabetics, too. You know, you think it's a little bit different, but sugar, you take out that sugar or too much sugar and what that does in the reversal. The same thing with too much of a medication. You can see where, you know, you give somebody Narcan instantly.
What's Narcan?
Is, it's used like in overdoses for opioids.
Oh, gotcha.
So you can watch somebody who is basically extremely lucid, they're out of it. Give them Narcan and within seconds, they just come completely out of that state.
Wow.
You can watch the chemistry.
That's pretty freaky.
If you want to see, if you Google some Narcan videos, pretty crazy to see, watch how quickly somebody can come back. Same thing with like drugs like epinephrine, which are used like a lot of times in cardiac patients.
Sure. I used to carry an Epi.
Yeah. An EpiPen, it's the same thing. You watch somebody just change. Little kids. Happens, they change really, really fast. So the chemistry in your so from that part of standpoint, you look at healthcare from what your body does and as a chemical unit reacting to its environment, to healthcare. We're talking about databases of
this is all I'm saying. Can the FDA spend a little bit of time doing some studies on the effects of vitamin E, vitamin C, hydrogen peroxide, like magnesium. That's the part that pisses me off. And so I used to sell drugs and I worked for Big Pharma.
Dope dealer. Kayla was a drug dealer.
You know, I'm doping that heart medicine. But straight up, I worked for a pharmaceutical company and was disgusted by what I saw. I was in college. It was a sales job. I was making money while I was going to school. But I was disgusted by what I saw. And it's disappointing to me that there are all these relatively inexpensive natural things like vitamin E that is sold at Rite Aid for, you know, $4 for a bottle of 500 of them.
This podcast is
and granted, vitamin E is like, I get that it's a part of the whole vitamin E complex, but whatever. Point being, can we do some research on these things like that ancient medicine used for years? I mean, my grandma put vitamin E on my wounds. Like,
yeah, but your father-in-law saying, you know, we are the best at evolving or adapting.
Yeah, yeah.
But we are. So we have all of these medications for that reason, right? Because we're supposed to be able to treat and fix and do these.
I think that's how it started, yes. I think that's how J.R. Watkins started with his antibacterial soap, you know, or whatever.
How did we get here? How did we get here? We evolved. We did use those salves. We did use nutrition to heal things. And now we just have a pill for it.
I think they realized how much money could be made and that there's a lot more money in treating than proactively preventing.
Yeah, I think there's starting to become a shift, though. There is a little bit of a shift, and it's about I think a little bit of the wellness. There is a shift. I think
it takes us. I think it takes people saying, no, I am not going to buy that shit stuff you're selling at the store. No, I'm not going to take that pill. I'm going to go do some research and see some.
Our generation is a little bit more that. You and I are not quick to throw a pill. My grandmother, great-grandmother. Oh, take an aspirin, honey.
Just take an aspirin. Although I will vouch for this, that like ibuprofen. Effing miracle.
God.
Right? Can I just say, like, when I'm having one of those days where everything's fucking achy and I have a headache that won't quit, I pop three of them little tiny pills, and in 20 minutes, I'm like, fuck, now I'm back to, like, functioning like a human.
I think ibuprofen is...
It's a miracle thing.
Yeah, it's probably why you have such stomach issues, too, though.
Well, I don't take them very often, realistically. Matt would disagree, but I don't. I don't take them very often.
I haven't taken them. I have them in my desk right now.
So, likewise, I mean, if there were people that were living back when cholera and freaking, what was that one, TB, tuberculosis, and you know how stoked they would have been to have some freaking...
Do you know that TB is, like, back?
It is because people are not immunizing their kids, which a different topic.
I don't see in minds, I think, a little bit. Yes, we immunize, but not all countries immunize.
Right.
So add immigration into that.
Right.
There's a whole
podcast on the topic of immunizations. But
that being said, I don't really...
I'm taking my son to a foreign country where there is high risk of certain things this year in November.
Where are you guys
and
coming?
I'm going to keep it secret. Only because I feel like...
You're scared somebody's in the podcast is going to come get your kid.
No, not at all. Although if I watched enough Forensic Files, I would. But no, I just feel like these days, like you'll notice I don't post where I'm at on Instagram. I'll put California. Only because I get so fucking mad when I see all these tourists show up to these places. And granted, like, I'm a tourist too, but they're just there for a picture for the gram, and they're so disrespectful of the land, and I just fucking hate that. So I'm trying to be more mindful about how I'm using my social media and what I'm... Yeah.
Good
like,
for you.
I'm trying to be more mindful about that. So I'm going to keep it secret until I go, and then I'll be mindful about what I share. But so we're going to a foreign country where there are very real... health disease type risks, and we're going to get caught up on our immunizations. Like, we're getting yellow fever, we're going to take our anti-malaria medication, we're going to do these things.
The anti-malaria medication equals my first child.
What?
Yeah. So I took anti-malaria medication.
Oh, in the military?
Yeah, when I was in Afghanistan.
And it made your birth control not work.
And I conceived a child, and her name is Austin, and she's 7.
Yes, oh, my you know child what? I need to keep that in mind.
In Afghanistan.
Although I'm getting old now, so. But I need to keep that in mind.
I also was kind of crappy at taking birth control.
But I don't take birth control, but I need to just still keep that in mind.
Yeah. So, just FYI, yes.
So, but what I will say, though, is that I forget completely where we were going before immunizations. Do
I'm
you remember?
The ranch on this Duke.
Yeah, to make the dog back. Biscuit taste better.
Do you see the redness in my face?
No.
Well, I can feel it. It's wine.
Oh yeah, I feel hot in my face too. But it's hot in here. It's humid, and we're not used to the humidity right now.
What is in this?
No, it's humid. It's just because of the weather change. I feel flush as well. But so, okay, but let me just say, let me go back to what we were talking about before immunizations. We were talking about tuberculosis. I just remembered I'm not that old. I don't have that much brain fog. Yay me. But, you know, like antibiotics, kind of a big deal. Like, really, like, we should be thankful for certain medical advances. Really, truly, some of them are phenomenal and amazing and have greatly extended our well-being and our quality of life and our length of life. And
now.
But now we have the anti-bugs or whatever, super bugs. And yeah, this is part of our process as humans. It's like, what are we doing? But this is where I'm going back to this whole idea that if you haven't raised a chicken and eaten its eggs, caught a fish and eaten the fish, or grown a tomato on a little patio pot plant, then you're missing out. You're missing out on the human experience of what it feels like to slightly sustain. And we're not obviously 100% sustaining. I get shit from the grocery store. I do. But I'm mindful.
You have the ability, if necessary, to sustain yourself.
Straight up, if Armageddon were to happen tomorrow,
don't come to our, stay where you are.
First of all, don't come to the Georgetown Divide because we all have a secret plan to blow the bridges and you're going to be dead in the river, literally.
Don't come to my house.
But no, for real. I mean, yeah. We've often talked about the fact that, you know, we have the ability to sustain. We know how to start a fire. We know where to get the stuff to start a fire without anything. We know how to collect eggs to eat. We know how to catch fish. We know how to grow vegetables. Granted, we'd need some seeds, but we know where to get those too. You know what I mean? Yeah. We actually have a seed stash, but they don't last very long. So you got to constantly, like, we got to figure that out. But bottom line, we are a little bit preparers, a little bit.
So funny.
We got some bug out bags. We've got some, yeah, I mean, yeah, we're not crazy.
I think you have to be, even if, no, we live in California, so we have the San Andreas fault line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things that are, that's a little, but even more than just the San Andreas fault line. You have to be prepared. You know, wildfires, those have been some things that are coming in. We live in California. Natural disasters.
Matt said something to me that was interesting. He said, what is your skill? And I go, what do you mean? And he goes, if shit hits the fan, like, that accountant ain't going to have a job for a while. Like, what are they going to barter? What is their skill? And you were just talking about the lost arts, like doing a potential lost arts podcast before we started this. And I'm like, well, what's your skill? He's like, I can make bullets. Like, I have an entire machine shop and know how to run these things. And even if the power was out, I can still manually machine. Like, I can make shit with my hands out of metal that will be purposeful and useful to rebuild America. Or the world. What do you got? I'm like, I could entertain maybe. He's like, people ain't gonna want any fucking entertainment. No. What do you got? I'm like, I can do therapy. And he's like, no, they're not gonna need fucking therapy. That's gonna be hundreds of years later. What do you got? I'm like, I don't know what I got. I don't know. I don't know what I got. What am I gonna barter? What's my freaking skill? Like, you're a nurse, right?
You're, no, I'm not a nurse.
Whatever. You were air medic freaking trained. Like, at the end of the day, you can stop some bleeding and know what to do and have some basic understanding of the human body.
Yeah, but people aren't bleeding all the time. So you got to be able to, can you feed yourself? Can you shelter yourself? Can you care for your children? Can you?
Yeah, but what am I going to have to barter? What am I going to offer? Yeah, I can babysit your kid while you go hunt?
Survival is number one. Can you survive on your own? Who cares about bartering and social? You got to throw the social thing out of there. There is no social. You have to be able to sustain by
well, if everyone leaves us the F alone, I know we'll be fine.
You have to prepare and be in the mindset that you are alone and your family circle is your family circle. Can you sustain yourself and your family?
Yes.
Okay. So from there,
what do I offer the world?
It's not even like that. And I think that's a really, really good like topic to bring up because honestly, and from my opinion and my belief, when you're down to the point where you're just trying to survive, there is no social, Michaela.
Yeah.
Somebody comes on your property.
I'm killing you.
Why are you on my property?
Can we talk about that for just a second?
Yes.
Can we circle back to weaponry? I'm not even talking about like gun rights or any of that shit.
The line is kicking in.
I'm just going to say this. When I first moved up to the Hill, Matt said, you need to be comfortable around guns and we need to teach you how to shoot. And I was like, fuck you. No. And he was like, because I'm strongly against that, you know, kind of a thing. And he says, what if there's an intruder? You know, we have people that are meth addicts that stumble up the driveway. What if there's an intruder? And we didn't have Tucker at the time. I said, I will fucking run. And I can run fast. And I will hit that highway in 2 seconds. And I will not stop until I am within safe zone. Then we built a deck. And then we built a fence. And then we had a kid. And not necessarily in that order. But bottom line, I was like, wow, this is straight parkour now. Like, I'm going to be grabbing the kid, boondocking over the deck, trying to figure out how to flip, backflip over the fence. Like, now we're straight up, I'm in a bit of a pickle dick, right? So, I'm like, give me the gun. Like, teach me the gun. So, I was terrified at first of handling a gun at all. Like, I didn't want to be near them. I didn't want to look at them. I wanted nothing to do with it. And we went to the store and spent quite a bit of time with me just touching them, which sounds really weird, until we found one that I felt very comfortable with, which was a revolver, because I can see what's happening. Like, I can literally see the mechanism with the bullets, and it's a very simplistic automatic, you know, 9mm, blah, blah, all this weird clips and stuff. It's too much for me. It's very complex, like, especially if there's actually an intruder. Like, I don't want to be figuring this out.
You get it. It clicked you. You had to experience a gun and see what it was about for it to change your mind.
Yes. And obviously my husband
had to be in an environment that made you experience it. Then you had to physically touch the gun and look at it and see and understand from, I mean, everybody's like, oh yeah, I just shoot them.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Not when they're coming at you. Not when they have a weapon. Not when who knows what.
On top
all
of that,
sorts
hey,
of
you,
different.
You just, you
you're tired.
Injured
it's 2 o'clock
another
in the morning.
Person.
Oh, right, right.
So it's yes. Power in a hand. It's
he's a sharp shooter. He's very, I mean, he could be a competitive marksman. This is a big part of his world. And I remember when I first was dating him, I'm like, there is a pig head on the wall. Like, it was a big disconnect for us. I actually had to name the animals that are on our walls. But he ate them. We eat them. So that's different. He doesn't go shooting recklessly, obviously. But it's a big part of his life. And I, at some point, recognized that with where we live and with our lifestyle, among other things, I'm often hiking in the woods. I'm not going to say alone, but, you know, like, I wear an ankle holster now. And so what I am very confident about is our son is being raised with a very great respect for them. There are not mysterious things to him. He is aware of what they are. He is aware of the dangers. He is aware of the consequences. And I think he has a solid appreciation. He's definitely, I think this is actually an important part of things. But for me, I'm not saying Armageddon's going to happen. I'm going to need to know how to shoot. But I do want to know how to defend myself against someone who has a weapon, because that's the reality of it. The people who have the weapons are not necessarily getting them legally. They're not necessarily in their right mind. Often they're stolen, you know. And so I want to be able to protect myself against the who knows what's. And I feel like actually being comfortable enough with a gun is part of that sustaining lifestyle. That if something were to happen to my husband, I could take a rifle and go find something to eat. You know, I could take a BB gun and go get a squirrel if I needed to.
Do you
to
think
survive.
That a lot of, you know, we live in California. Do you think that is something, I know I feel this, I wish we could change that view within our country and where our country stands with, you know, our gun control and our mass shootings. They've really taken away from people like you and I who look at it from a sustaining life.
Mm-hmm. Or a survival standpoint.
Or a survival standpoint.
And I feel very I don't mean to interrupt you. I want you to continue your thought. But also, we target practice probably once a month. We used to target practice weekly, so I was very comfortable. And, I mean, I'm a 2-inch spot. You're dead. Like, really, I feel good knowing that. I feel good knowing that. And our guns are locked up. There's nothing like that. But I feel good knowing that I can protect myself. Oh. You don't stand a chance. Bless you.
It's sneezing. No, that was it.
Just one.
God,
what just that's a unicorn.
It was like a half.
It's a unicorn. Okay,
I'm good.
Yeah,
that's how guns are supposed to be intended. Is
yes,
what I would
yes,
say.
And what's funny is the hippie in me gets it. The hippie in me understands why so many people don't want this. But I was that scared person. I was that non-educated person that I'm not going to say ignorant because it's not the right word. Naive, whatever.
No,
I was that person.
No, ignorant, I think, is a good word, but in the sense of because to me, ignorant just represents lack of education.
So 2 weeks after I got my CCW, which is my concealed carry permit, because I took it to that level.
Yeah, and you want to be legal about it.
I just took it to that level. And I was doing therapy at my Diamond Springs office, and I went downstairs. I had dropped off a hard drive that needed to be recovered. It was like I was going to lose all my pictures. I dropped off a hard drive at a computer store in the morning. I went down on my break, and Matt was like, I don't understand why you don't carry it. I'm like, because I don't want to deal with it. I'm wearing a freaking skirt. Like, where am I going to conceal the damn thing? Like, I'm not dealing with it. So I was not carrying. I went into the computer store to pick up my hard drive. They had texted me that it was ready, and the store was robbed while I was in it. And they stole computers right off the thing at gunpoint, but they had weapons, and the cops had to come, and they had to interview me and the whole thing. And I'm like, this is exactly it. Like, these are not the, you know, I mean, this is the exact example for why I want to be knowledgeable about it and what it could come of it, you know?
Do you think if you were carrying that day, you would have acted though?
No, I absolutely would not have acted. There was no point in which I felt that myself or any of the people in the store were threatened because they were like, take them, take the computers, go. And they ran out with the computers and the cops found them down the road, but I would not have acted. But had it turned ugly, had one of the store associates started arguing and something started happening, I could have had an option, and I didn't. So,
do you think if you would have had your child with you that day, it would have been different?
Oh, I have not even thought about that. I think the mama bear in me would come out, but I also, because having gone through the CCW process, I really understand the life consequence of making that choice, of mm-hmm. taking potential alive. Because if I'm shooting, I'm not missing, right? You're dead. Yep. That's the reality of it. I know I'm that good of a shot. Like, I'm not trying to be egotistical. I'm just saying I practice enough to know that it wouldn't be a leg shot unless I meant it to be a leg shot, even if you're running, you know?
That's awesome. That is very awesome.
So we went from growing a garden.
I think this is what we intended our podcast to be. We talked about having our podcast be life conversations, us being real. This is us in our comfortable position just talking.
So maybe we should publish this one before the grief and loss one.
I don't know. I think it's probably my favorite. Maybe I have a buzz from this.
Francis Ford Coppola wine.
Yeah, but I'm so into a red. I'm a reds lady these days.
So good. I do agree with you, though. This is like exactly what our goal for this was. And I feel like our first couple episodes, we were trying to figure it out.
No, we are still trying to figure it out. I think it's important that we have structure and we have content. Nobody wants to just sit here, listen to me, and you have a chit chat. But it's important sometimes for us to sit here and have a chit chat and be our real selves, because you can listen to the tone, listen to our reflection. There is a little bit, it's hard. This is not. We put ourselves out there.
And you don't know what's coming back or who's listening. That's really challenging.
Yeah.
But I do think that this platform has such great potential.
Yeah.
For what? I don't know. I'm just getting the message that it needs to be here.
By the way, we're not in Michaela's house, which we normally are. Yeah. We're at the machine shop today. Yes. We're at the shop. It's funny because I'll talk to anybody because you lose service just around the corner from yeah. here, and there's probably like a half mile of road where yeah. you don't get service. And I'll be coming around, and I don't care who I'm talking to. I'm like, I just passed the shop. They're like, well, call me when you get back to town. You know, everybody knows. it's the shop, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, people have joked with us that if Armageddon does happen, they're all coming here. We can make a lot of bullets, but no, that's not even.
We're not. I think we should probably get this wrapped up.
Yeah.
It's Tuesday and we have life and reality to go back to. It's been great podcasting with you.
I really want to add, too, that if people are liking it, subscribe. We're trying to put them out weekly, and it's important on, like, the podcast land that we have, like, ratings, subscriptions, comments, like, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and some of the upcoming stuff to look forward to. I know you've got some guests coming on the show.
So excited.
Stay tuned for some guests. Do you want to throw the arts out there?
Our
solicitation for
arts. Yes, yeah, do that. And we'll put a link in the thing for email.
So what we're looking for is we want to do a podcast on some hidden arts, some talents or some skills that through time people have kind of lost, but something that you may have held on to. I use the example today, you know, I have a friend who knitted a really cool stuffed animal, or she crocheted it for Della, and it's a whole stuffed animal. And that takes skill.
Wow.
And that takes time. Mm-hmm. And so something, you know, it could be that, it could be a woodworking that you do, mm-hmm. or a type mm-hmm. of art, or,
Do you have a unique talent or a gift or an art that is lost?
And that's kind of
a
lost art. If it's metalwork, you know, something doesn't have to be a craft, but something that you think our society today has really gotten away from, and you really think it's important and you'd like to pass it on.
We want to interview you.
We want to hear about it. We want to get your word out there, because we want to keep people keep going with that. We don't want the lost arts to die.
Yeah, I want to share them too. Like, I want to hear about them myself and just, like, be able to have that venue for people to hear about them.
Yeah, so reach out to us, social media, email.
We'll put links in.
Yeah, I call and text, but don't text me. I don't respond.
Yeah, don't leave you a voicemail either, because your voicemail's full.
Is it really?
Always.
This has been a BU Find Happy podcast. For more inspiration, check out our links. Bye-bye.